In September of 2017, Passion traveled to Mexico City to lead thousands of worshipers in building the foundation of their lives on Jesus. However, on the night they arrived, the team was unexpectedly awakened. Louis Giglio, who was speaking at the gathering, recounts his experience.
So I'm at my desk at the hotel in Mexico City, fifth floor of an eight-story hotel. I have my Bible open to the key text that I really wanted God to speak to us from. So I have my Bible open to Psalm 46 on the desk in the hotel. And right in the middle of all of it, the desk starts moving. And it's just kind of weird when that happens, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is like, it felt like somebody drove a truck into the wall from the room next door, and I know that's not possible, or maybe they were moving the furniture on the room above, and it's more than that, but the desk started moving, and I looked up, and instantly there was a big light above the desk, and that light just started swaying like this. I turned around right behind me. There were curtains there in a window, and the curtains were moving, and the little plastic things that you grab onto to pull the drapes, those things are just swinging like this in the window. The television is going from one end of the dresser to the other end of the dresser, and I'm like, my goodness, we're having an earthquake right now. I get up in the middle of the room, and I'm not earthquake savvy, so I don't know how to like go down my checklist, so I grab my phone, and I start videotaping the earthquake, because stuff's like, it was like if someone just put their hand on Central America and just kind of did that. So I've got my phone out, and sadly, I don't know if anybody sometimes can't work your phone like me, so I don't end up taking a video. Anybody, hello? I end up taking a photo. Anybody? Anybody else besides me in the world? Like, you're standing there for like, this went on for like 90 seconds, so I'm like, and I'm getting close to things. I want Shelly to know in case I'm dreaming or it only happened on the fifth floor and everybody else is going to tell me I made it up. I'm like, no, stuff's moving around. So I got over here and I'm looking over there. And I mean, stuff's moving. And then later I go to show the video and it's a photo of the little pole on the curtains in my room. It's a very powerful photo though. And if you move the camera from side to side, it's a little bit of the effect of what we had. And if you've ever been in an earthquake, and I know some of you are looking at me, you have, it does something to you that nothing else on earth does to you. It shrinks you in 2 seconds. You realize that you could build an empire, you could build a building, you could build an entire life. It can all be shaken in 30 seconds. And I just believe today that as the people of God, He wants to be in our midst today and encourage us again today that the God of Jacob is with us, and it's possible for us as the people of God to live fearless in an age of fear. No one's asking anyone to ignore the reality of the pain or the suffering or the loss or the difficulty that is in this world. But it is possible for us as the people of God to live with less fear in an age of fear. And this is our opportunity, and this is our moment. This is your opportunity. This is your moment to actually live the faith that a lot of us have claimed for our entire lives.
My name is Jason Daiba, and you're listening to the Passion Podcast, where I get to talk to artists, speakers, and culture makers who have focused their lives on the fame of Jesus. Today I'm talking to Brett Yonker, who has spent the last several years with the Passion Movement as a worship leader and a songwriter, including a song he led in Mexico City called Build My Life. Here's how he remembers the song being written.
I'm really good friends with Pat Barrett, and he's a worship leader here in Atlanta, part of House Fires.
And he helped write the song Good Good Father.
That's right.
A lot of people know him for that.
A lot of people know that song.
Okay.
And Pat and I have been friends. He had a band, I had a band. And in that season where I was kind of in transition and of life and just kind of going, God, where and what do you want? A few years ago, you know, me and Ansley had kids. We'd had Anna Jean, our first, and the the end of the Brett Yonker Band era, stepping into the Passion Band era, coming on staff at Passion City Church. Okay. For him, he had, you know, kind of stepped away from a band that he had been a part of for a long, long time. House Fires was just starting, but Good Good Father had not happened yet. That the rocket ship that yeah. is that song had not happened yet. And so yeah. we were both in a place of going, you know, I don't know what is on the other side, but I know that I'm following God. I know that I'm stepping where He's called me to step. And because of that, I know that I'm on sure ground. And so we had written a song just about that, you know, and we'd written a whole song, but while we were working on the song, we were at here at Passion City Church at 515, and we're in the men's dressing room just working on this song, and the bridge came out that mm-hmm. is now the bridge of Build My Life.
Okay.
And in the moment that it happened, I was like, Pat, that bridge is going to blow up. Like, that bridge is that's the goods, you know.
You have a vision for
this
bridge.
I knew it immediately. I was yeah. like, this is it. But the rest of the song, not so much.
Okay.
And we always knew that. And we left that day, and we had a song, but we had a great bridge, and that was it.
Okay. This is a couple years
this
ago?
This is like 2 years ago. So then he doesn't let it go. And the beauty of House Fires, the way that they lead, is they lead, you know, so flowy. And so Pat would just bring that bridge into the equation.
It's spontaneous.
Spontaneously, just kind of throw that in. Well, then he was with House Fires, him and Kirby and the team. They were over in the UK, and they were at a guy named Carl Martin's house, and they wrote this chorus, and it was, you know, oh my gosh, that chorus is so beautiful. And Pat would pair that chorus with the bridge. And for a long time, it was just those two things as he would lead and go about. And somewhere along the line, he reached out to Matt Redman, and the two of them had written the verses to the song. And, you know, meanwhile, I had heard the chorus that him and Kirby had worked on before, but I had never heard those verses. And he called me up, you know, probably a year and a half ago now. Mm-hmm. And said, hey, they had just recorded House Fires 3. And he said, hey, we recorded our song. And I was like, amazing. What was the rest of it?
you not even heard the rest of it.
I hadn't even heard the verses. And so I'll send it to you. So he sent me the recording. And the first time I heard it, I was like, I couldn't believe it, you know, because everything that was in that song for me was what Passion is all about.
Yeah.
And what our movement is all about. You know, and that's where the beauty of those verses kind of like focused it for me. And, you know, it says, worthy of every song we would ever sing, worthy of every breath we would ever breathe. You know, we live for you, Jesus. And mm-hmm. and then the chorus was this thing of this moment of revelation to moving out, you know, of like, holy, there is no one like you, all the way to lead me in your love to those yeah. around me. You know, that the prayer in that chorus is such a powerful prayer.
It's a beautiful line.
And then comes the bridge, and the bridge is the statement of faith. You know, the bridge is this, I am putting my anchor in the ground of saying, I will build my life on the love of God. And so as we were getting things ready for Passion, and just, you know, House Fires had kind of carried that song, and I was like, we've got to carry this to Passion 2017. And we did, and I'm so glad that we got to do that, and I'm glad we've got to, you know, sing it all year long. We sing it at our church, and even, you know, most recently singing it in Mexico City. And, you know, I'll never forget for the rest of my life. When we got done with the song, we sang the chorus of it in Spanish and the whole way through. And then we backed up at the end of the song, and just hearing an arena full of people from Mexico singing the song in Spanish and just singing of the holiness of God and,
yeah.
and asking God to lead them to those around them in the love of God, and hearing it in their language. And man, it's such a crazy journey. You know, that's one of those things where it's like you just... It's the faithfulness of showing up, meeting, working on a song, and then just trusting God. You know, God was the one that kind of like said, hey, I'm not going to forget about that bridge. Yeah. You know, I was doing something in you and Pat when you wrote that bridge, but I'm going to use that again. You know, I'm going to put that on hold for a couple of years, you know. And then he began to bring other people and other people's lives and experiences and ideas into the process. And it's so amazing just to see that song start to go.
When we come back, Brett Yonker tells us about leading worship as a full contact sport. This is the Passion Podcast. Stay with us.
Hey everyone, it's Louis Giglio, and if you're an 18 to 25 year old, then you should definitely check out Passion Conference. It's one of the most extraordinary gatherings happening on the planet right now, and it's all about university-age individuals coming together under the banner of Jesus. If you're a leader of 18 to 25-year-olds, then you're invited too. Round up your crew, sign them up today. The dates, the location, all the details are at 268generation.com, and I look forward to seeing you at Passion Conference.
Man, I remember once leading worship at an all-boys middle school retreat.
Where is this at?
It was in Panama City, which is a beautiful part of the country.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, can you imagine? 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, but all boys. So there's no girls to, like, balance out anything.
A lot of energy in the room.
A lot of energy and a lot of smells. A lot of smells. And, you know, and this is in the era where, like, every youth group guy talk is around Braveheart, you know, and
okay.
And just, you know, William Wallace, and
I remember that era.
Yeah, right. And so that's what was going on, and a lot of, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, so the whole weekend had happened, we're coming down towards the end, and we're kind of getting into the fast song, and all of a sudden these guys, like, you know, adolescence and testosterone and everything kind of click in all at once, like combined with the music, and like something crazy happened, and these guys just start like wrestling one another. They start taking off their shirts and throwing, stacking folding chairs in the middle of the room, and it's
during the song.
During the song, this is a true story, and mayhem was happening, and all of a sudden, you know, I looked around at the band, and I'm like, what is happening.
Has this ever happened to you before? I mean, like an all-out brawl while you're leading worship?
I've got another story for you, actually.
Okay.
Walk in one time to this Sunday afternoon youth group deal, and there was a wrestling ring set up in the middle of the room. Like, full-on wrestling ring. I don't know, probably regulation-size wrestling ring. Like, WWF style. And they had the band set up on the stage, and then they wanted me to lead in the middle of the wrestling ring.
Oh my. So there's a stage.
There's a stage.
For the band.
For the band. Like normal, where normal stages.
But not for you.
No, they said, you, my friend, are going into the wrestling ring. And I was like, okay, let's do this. Now, this particular day, the set list that this group had chosen was a lot of like just reflective songs. And, you know, it was a very interesting set list for the place that we were in. I was in a wrestling ring. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, there's going to be a message with some kind of like, you know, really big illustration about God fights your battles or something. And, you know, that really didn't happen at this particular day. What did happen in the program was they had gotten, like, they'd seen this at like a fair, this like low budget version of wrestling with like a character named Rob Adonis. And, you know, and he was like the evil guy. And then there was this other person. And, you know, the interesting thing is that this particular group was about 60% female. And so just not quite the target market for wrestling.
Wow.
So this whole thing, and, you know, in wrestling, in this style, they're supposed to, like, berate the people.
Yeah.
And so he was doing that, but it wasn't really, like,
It wasn't translating.
And so that happened for about an hour. And then we were supposed
to... Wait, what happens for about an hour?
The wrestling portion.
So that happens first.
That happens first.
Oh,
then
man.
We're going to transition. As we're, you know, I'm about to get into the ring to go lead worship, the student pastor turns to me and says, what should I do to transition? And I said, I really don't know. I'm so sorry. I can't help you.
He's asking you.
He's asking me how to transition into worship. And at this point, I'm a loss. Programming has gone south.
Did they not teach you this in seminary?
No, they didn't. And so anyway, here we are. And I'm in the wrestling ring. And it's the weirdest thing going on. And the students start jumping into the wrestling ring with me.
Oh my.
And so the band is rocking, and I'm just now, because they're in the wrestling room, my mic is just like bouncing up and down. And like, I ended up just sitting on the ropes, and they just all went crazy. And that was the last time I...
The last time you led in a wrestling ring?
The last time I led in a wrestling ring.
I love that. I love moments like that. That just remind us how not in control we are. And sometimes that's terribly funny. Sometimes it's terribly awkward. Sometimes right. Terribly painful to realize that we're not in control of everything. But I wonder if those are healthy reminders for us, especially on a more significant plane, like with our dreams and ambitions. I mean, do you think we can step into all that God has for us and still maintain control of how we want things to go?
I don't think so. You know, I think that the call to Jesus is the call to surrender in the beginning. You know, even the call to come to life in Christ is the call to surrender.
Yeah.
And so, because what it is saying, I did things in my own way, and that led to death. And so now I'm acknowledging that, and I'm surrendering my life to you, Jesus. And so I'm trusting you, and I'm making you the God, the Lord of my life. And so that's base level, you know, the base level of doing anything in the kingdom of God is surrender. And so, but I do believe that, you know, when I look at the leaders, when I look at the leaders who inspire me, you know, Louis and Shelley are definitely some of those leaders, you know, I see time and time again, the greatest of the leaders are the ones who have laid down a lot of things all along the way, and they're big things and they're small things. But I think that in the kingdom of God, it just is the same as if you're in a family, you know, for your family. For the church, or for some big things, you have to lay down your life for other people. And when you do that, God blesses that, and God honors that, and life comes from that. That's the amazing. The kingdom of God is that life comes through death. This is this amazing idea.
Yeah.
And I feel that as a husband, you know, is to the degree that I lay down my life for Ansley, is that a degree that our marriage flourishes. To the degree that I can do that as a dad, is the degree that I will give my life away for my kids and their lives will be better. To the degree that our family serves our church, you know, and is on mission to you know, help the city of Atlanta and the world see and know Jesus, is the degree that if our family can give and serve in that kind of a way, that God will bless that and honor that. And so, to answer your question, I do believe that, you know, surrender is the path to greatness in the kingdom of God.
Passion exists to see a generation leverage their lives for what matters most. Today's episode of the Passion Podcast was produced by myself with engineering help from John Duke. If you want to know more about Passion, then come check us out at 268generation.com or follow us on Instagram at Passion268. If you're a fan of this podcast, you can help us get the word out by subscribing on iTunes and leaving us a review. And as always, thanks for listening to the Passion Podcast.